Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 87, Wearable Computing in the Workplace. Here we go. Today, my guest is the never short of an opinion podcast veteran, Jason Perlow. How you doing, Jason?
What's up, Rickatron?
Oh, man, I'm so busy. I'm so distracted with work. Well, I don't say distracted, but heads down. You know how that goes, right? It's you get focused.
Yeah.
But it's really crazy because there's a whole new thing being born. And I called it wearable computing. You called it cybernetic headbanding. Is that right?
Yes, or sideband for short.
Sideband. We're talking about sideband. Google Glass. And I don't think it's long, Jason, before we see this show up in the workplace as a personal device. Not necessarily, of course, it's not going to be issued by most mainstream IT departments, but how do you think this is going to impact, the technology in the workplace?
So, I mean, right now Google Glass is a prototype, right? It's something that for developers to really hack at and try to come up with some interesting applications. I think that Google Glass is the first of what I believe will be many wearable computing devices that will enter the industry. There's been talk of an iWatch. There's been talk of different types of Android headsets coming from all other companies. There's a couple different ones that are being released independently that work on both an iOS as well as Android, right? So they act as smartphone display extensions for your eyepiece, essentially. So Google Glass is really just, one of, I think, quite a few things that are going to be coming out. I think the overall issue is, what can we do with these things, in terms of good, and what can we do with them in terms of bad? I think that there is clearly a vertical industry pivot with this type of equipment. Anytime that you're going to need to have your hands free, this device is going to be of an asset, right? So, anything in the medical industry, law enforcement, military, aerospace engineering, scientific, a lot of those things, I see wearable computing being a huge asset. But as the price of these things start coming down, right now they cost $1,500 for a developer edition. But eventually, if you look at the components that are inside Google Glass, there's nothing in it that should make it cost more than $250, to be honest with you, and possibly even less. I mean, you're looking at a really, commodity cell phone chip. You're looking at a very inexpensive cell phone camera sensor. The display is really the most expensive piece, but even still, that can be reduced considerably. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you got the wireless chips and all the other things. So it's basically a cell phone without a cell phone display. And it also runs Android. Now, my theory is that you probably don't even need the cell phone processor that's currently in there. Right now that glass can only do about 5 hours of continuous use and about 20 minutes if you're recording video, which is really not practical, for someone who would want to use something the entire day. I mean, we expect our cell phones these days to function for most of the day. Mm-hmm. Some of us stretch limited that a little bit by putting in bigger batteries and stuff, and we use our phones a lot, and so sometimes the charge in them runs down. But if it's something that you're wearing on your head all day, you don't want it just to suddenly stop working, right? So they're going to need to do a couple of things, I think, to optimize that technology. One of which is they're going to have to start using things that are closer to what I would call microcontrollers than what I would call a cell phone processor that you would see in like a Galaxy S4 or an iPhone. You need something that consumes a lot less power, something that maybe works on the ARM Cortex-M architecture rather than the stuff that's used in cell phones. You need something that really does not run a full operating system. You want something that basically runs the firmware and able us to, to control the hardware sensors that are on a band like that. And the heavy lifting should really be done by the smartphone or other computing device that it's remotely connected to, whether it's by Bluetooth or Wi-Fi.
So more like peripheral, wireless peripherals.
Essentially a Bluetooth headset on steroids. And the reason why I think it should be done that way is a couple of reasons. One, I don't think that we should be having computers literally sitting on our heads with lots of localized storage that, you know, right, and there was an article that was written by a guy named Jay Freeman, who is also known as Sorek. He's the guy that developed the Cydia, jailbreaking web app store, essential third-party app store for iOS. And he also jailbroke the first Glass. And when I spoke to him, he told me there's a lot of security concerns around Glass that can, you know, Glass systems, if they get jailbroken, if they use the same basic reference design in the consumer version that the one that is used today, you could compromise that and, you know, install, you know, rootkits on there that would, you know, if you let that thing out of your sight, let's say you leave it on your desk at work, somebody could just insert a USB cable, install a rootkit in like about 3 seconds, you know, with the Android SDK, and there could be malware there that would be constantly taking pictures and forwarding it to somebody's Dropbox sitting in the cloud.
Right.
Or videos or record ambient audio or anything. So really, you know, you could be being spied on without even knowing it. I mean, everything that you look at on your computer screen while that thing is going, someone could be engaging in corporate espionage.
Well, you gotta be careful though, because we have that risk with cell phones. In fact, I know a friend who works at a large retail store, grocery store, and they have what do you call it? I call them pin pads. The little thing that you swipe your credit card on to pay at the self-checkout line. You know what one of his biggest priorities is right now? This is no joke. He said people are uninstalling them from the store while the store is open, running out to their car, loading a custom firmware and inserting an antenna, and then running them back in, installing them back in the self-checkout line. And in the process, he's actually installed an antenna that will forward out every credit card swipe to him in his car. You know, those types of things are real. I think that any device, PCs on the internet, phones in my hand, wearable compute on my head, pay pin pad at the store, those risks are going to exist everywhere.
Well, they're going to exist, but I think that the more that we give this type of technology to people, right, I mean, the more potential there is for misuse. And, you know, there are a lot of sociopaths out there, and not all of them need to be techies, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, somebody could essentially come out with an evil Glass Linux Android distribution that can be, you could re-ROM your device with, that would contain all sorts of stuff that would allow you to do all sorts of nasty things, right? So, I mean, let's put it this way. When the Israeli and Eastern European security wonks that used to come out of, you know, organizations like Mossad and, you know, the East German Stasi, you know, get a hold of these things, and they have companies now, they're going to play with it and come up with some interesting applications that Google never intended them to do. So, I mean, things like on the fly audio and, image, I wouldn't say editing, but enhancement and analysis. And by the way, Glass, you know, as it stands today, is not a particularly good surveillance device, okay? Mm-hmm. The camera on it is only 5 megapixels. So it can only take 720p video recording, and it doesn't, as far as I understand, have any optical zoom capability.
But this is... It's smaller than a chicken McNugget. It can't be that good.
Well, you'd be surprised how well you can make lenses and sensors now. I mean, let's say they license this out to Samsung or some other company, I'm going to say, or Logitech or anybody else, right? You could very easily, based on the if Glass is a operating system and software specification that gets open sourced, right,
mm-hmm.
Or licensed, right, then somebody can say, well, I'm going to make a 10 megapixel version of this with an optical zoom and infrared night vision capability, mm-hmm. with superior audio sensors, and any number of other things that are better than the current version.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then that would be a pretty nasty surveillance device.
Yeah.
So, if you look at where Android phones were back in 2007, if you look at the T1 that first came out by HTC, it was kind of a joke compared to what you would see in a Samsung Galaxy S4 today. Right. So, I mean, and that's only a couple years ago. That's 4 years ago?
Sure.
So project Google Glass 5 years into the future and think about the type of things that you could do with it. Now it starts to sound a little bit scarier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. For malicious reasons, for privacy reasons, and I've seen your articles, you know, I'll put some links in the podcast notes to some of the content you've written about it. And dare I say, you've coined the term glass hole, which I kind of
I can't
like.
Take credit. I cannot take credit for that one.
You introduced me to it. I don't know where it came from, but I like it.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, it's going to make a serious impact in the workplace. In fact, just today, Gartner analyst Chris Wolf sent out a tweet, and I'm going to quote him. He said, "I'm at a vendor consulting, and they gave me the no tweeting warning." And then he went on to say, "How am I supposed to take notes now?" Kind of a joke and somewhat in jest. And I said, "Well, Chris, before long, it's going to be a no Google Glass warning. There are going to be zones in workplaces, maybe even in stores. You know, you walk into a store today that says no drugs, no guns, whatever. Dare they say no? In fact, I've gone into some, not the best neighborhoods, but I've gone into some banks or, you know, financial services type places, and they say no hats, no sunglasses. You know,
yeah.
Dare I say, will we see a sign that says no cybernetic headbanding or no wearable compute? You know, I think
I think we can go even more far than that. Not only will it be prohibited from many places, but I believe there will be what I call anti-glass technology developed. One of the ways that I think that this could be accomplished, and I think this is something that really should be developed, to be honest with you. Is I believe that if you had RFID tags installed on these devices that were hardwired to the camera so that there was no way you could control it through software,
mm-hmm.
they have active RFID tags. And RFID is a mature technology that will, you know, allow you could project a radio frequency field up to 2,000 feet around your business establishment. I mean, in fact, they have ones that'll work within feet. So you could basically implant them in cell phones that you were carrying. Mm-hmm. You could have them, you know, around your house. I mean, these things could be developed, you know, put inside cell phones for a couple dollars extra manufacturing cost. In terms of a house, maybe if you wanted to protect a place of business, it maybe could cost a couple $100 for a longer range. But you could project a field, a signal that would basically tell glass you're dead.
Mm-hmm. So a force field. Out of Star Wars, it's a force field.
It's an anti-recording force field, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there would have to be agreed standards upon this and something, and I think there'd have to be legislation, but I believe there will be, and there'll be, I'm sure people come up with unofficial types of disruption technology. I'm sure we'll see something on Kickstarter that'll completely screw up a recording signal. I think there's ways of doing with ultraviolet light and things that will completely mess up the recording capability. Hmm. So I think, you know, I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit too paranoid, and you know, I've been accused of being a Luddite and stuff. Look, I'm one of the most technology addicted people there are.
Yeah,
right?
You're very progressive. That's why I like you. That's why I always ask you on.
I buy a lot of gadgets, right? Mm-hmm. And I love having cell phones and tablets, and I use everyone's technology. I mean, I work for another large technology mm-hmm. vendor. But I use everyone's technology. I use Google's, I use Apple's, I use Microsoft's, mm-hmm. I use anyone's technology that I can get a hold of because it's a mission for me to learn about this stuff, and people ask me about this stuff.
Sure.
But I believe that there is a need to disconnect yourself from technology occasionally. There was a guy who just recently completed a year without being connected to the internet. He was a writer for, I believe it was for, it was Wired or I think it was The Verge actually. And, he recently returned and, he took a year off break and he completely cut the cord. It was kind of an unsatisfactory experience for him. I think that was a bit extreme. I mm-hmm. think that though, every single one of us should be spending at least a few hours a day, turn your computer off, walk away from the cell phone and the tablet and just enjoy life. Right. And I think that, you know, if you're of our generation, I think that's something it's easier for us to do. I think the younger generation, you know, we're talking about people that are in their 20s and early 30s may have some difficulty doing this. I see people when they go on vacation, you know, they look for their Wi-Fi access points and stuff. I'm like, dudes, mm-hmm. we're in a Caribbean island. Go hang out at the beach for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I think, As it's more likely that these type of headsets are going to be adopted by people that are younger than us first, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe look at guys like Robert Scoble. I mean, he's really not, I think, a good example of people of our generation. I mean, I think a lot of people in our generation are going to stick with cell phones and tablets, and they're going to think these things are weird. Now, even if these things come down to $250 or $500, maybe I'll probably pick one up if it costs $1,000, just because for investigative, you know, technology research purposes, I'm interested in one. Mm-hmm. But I would never suggest that the average citizen go out and pick one of these things up, probably until they get a lot less expensive, mm-hmm. you know, and even still, there has to be a reason to use one of these things. So far, I haven't seen any compelling applications that would make me want to use one.
I'm struggling, right? I mean, the reason why I bring it up is the question's going to be out there. How can I use this in my job? And what I do, you know, it would drive me crazy. One of the biggest things I do in my role, which, you know, I understand not everybody does what I do, nor you do, or what any of the listeners do, but I thought about scrolling messaging. It could be something as ridiculous as email, but what about if I'm a system admin, host alerts, dare I say it replaces, you know, where SNMP messages go, where the visual paging for my infrastructure of alerts, right? I mean, I'm making use cases in my head. Right, or tweets of interest to my brand, like I respond on behalf of the Veeam Twitter account. Boom, put them in my eye. My right eye is not as good as my left eye, but you get the point. All right, so I'm coming up with use cases. You know, if I'm a cloud administrator, right, new term for server admin, right? If I administer my own private cloud, what about, you know, visibility into that? Let me take it with me, you know, because the network, you know, goes with me, but I don't always have my phone or see an alert, you know. So, and if IT pro, I could see some use case. But you know what? What's that extra minute response time going to get me? You know, is it really worth it?
I mean, I agree with that. I think there will be applications, but I believe the technology really does need to be refined. The battery life, the display technology, by the way, that's being used is not that great. I was talking to Rachel King over at ZDNet, who actually was lucky enough to be part of the Explorers program, and she recently posted a gallery of how she went in for her fitting of the glasses at the Googleplex. And she's telling me that you do get headaches by using it, and the weight of the device is not insubstantial by any means.
Sure.
So I mean, getting beyond the social acceptance norms, unless this is something you really can wear all day long, and it's not it doesn't bother you, you know, it's not a hindrance to your daily life, then I don't see this being used other than for really specific vertical market type of applications. And even if that's the case, I think that's going to be great. I mean, let's take a look at other things that did really well in vertical markets. Segway, everyone thought that was going to be a huge disruption to transportation. But where the Segway is used most is, well, for starters, you see them on vacation tours. You know, people can book, you know, tours with Segways of going into villages and areas and then things like Hawaii and islands and stuff. And for that, it's great. I see people who are in law enforcement giving out tickets on cars that need to be, pedestrian type law enforcement. It could help those people get around a lot faster. But your average citizen has not felt a need to go out and buy Segways, and they've gotten cheaper, and the range on, you know, two-wheeled transportation, units have gotten like 25 miles on a charge, which is not bad. But I think that, you know, it just didn't necessarily take hold in the general public. There's lots of other examples of really cool technologies that people just didn't want to use. I mean, let's take a look at video. Mm-hmm. Video conferencing has gotten a lot cheaper. It's gotten dirt cheap, okay? You and I are both now talking over Skype, but we're not video chatting, right? And there's a couple of reasons about this. First of all, I think video chat still needs to be, even at the cheapest it's gotten, and the fact that it's gotten so easy to do with even minimal bandwidth, that people are very aware of what they look like in terms of how they present themselves on video, right? We don't, when we have a camera staring at us, we're more conscientious about how we look and things like that. And so, you know, I use video conferencing a lot in my day job, but I use VoIP far more often. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, people just don't want to look at each other all the time. And we're all, we're not, quite frankly, those of us who work from home, we're not always
prepared.
Appropriately. Yeah. So, I mean, and you look at, you know, technologies like FaceTime. Yeah. Awesome. Tracing capability into the iPhone and into all these other, you know, mobile technologies. But how many people do you really see using that technology? Often, I've seen it a few times, you know, in public, but more than not, people are texting and emailing and stuff. Just because you have the technology doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get adopted. There are social reasons, and well, I mean, no one wants to. You may not want to hold a private conversation with your kids and your wife in the middle of an airport, standing on line to get on a plane. You know, it doesn't make sense to do that. So. By the same token, I think Glass is going to have other types of social adoption barriers that we may not even think of right off the top of our head.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that it is going to be an impactful thing, consumer space, in the workplace, and really just living. I think there's going to be a change, and maybe we're ahead of ourselves talking about it now, but it's a good idea to get a sense of what this thing is. And, you know, what the potential use cases could be. Well, hey, Perlo, let's wrap it up. Again, I really appreciate your insight on the topic. And, yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't really want one. Maybe if I saw one, I'd pick it up and compare it to the size of a chicken nugget.
You know you want one.
I don't want one. No, I don't think so.
Look, I've been a total bastard in terms of criticizing in the public. I still want one just because I'm curious.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean I'm going to walk out in public with one.
No, I mean, you know, and and here's the natural assumption. They're going to get smaller and better. And,
yep.
You know, it's fair. I bet it's fair to say that in 1 or 2 years, price would have, size would have, capabilities would double. Okay. Just by previous experience with technology, I think that's a realistic assumption. And
very realistic.
And dare I say, then you'll have dual screen or dual glass.
Dual eyepiece, yeah.
Yeah, so you can to the left, to the right, depending on your mood. Two different compute platforms, have a backup. I don't know, FT, Google Glass, whatever you want to call it. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hey, Perlo, take it easy. I'll put a link to some of your blog posts on it. You can find this awesome gentleman on Twitter, @JPerlo. Thanks again, Jason.
Thanks, dude.